You are listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographer Series 2023. Artistic Direction, Chris Standfest. Co-funded by the European Union in the frame of the project Lifelong Burning, Futures Lost and Found. Today's guest is Anna Bicsak. Anna is a Hungarian dancer and choreographer based between Vienna and Stockholm. Her work often deals with bodily memory, cultural identity, and dance as a means of communication. The group choreography, Delicate, has been equally shaped by these themes. The work features three female dancers who grew up in different European and Eastern European contexts, namely Karin Power in Austria, Adele Juhas in Hungary, and Sasha Portianikova in Russia. After presenting Delicate at Casino am Schwarzenbergplatz, Anna sat down with author Sean Pfeiffer. They discussed the role of writing in the development of the piece, Anna's decision not to perform herself, and her collaboration with musician Rosi Mako.
Thank you for being here, first of all. I was wondering about the connection between like text and movement in your piece, because your piece is very much Delicate, is very much concerned with the histories, the bodily and the cultural origin stories, in a way, of the three dancers, Sasha, Adele and Karin. And you wrote that the articulation of these stories came out of a dialogue between text and movement. And the texts then are mostly left out of the final piece, with the exception of the beginning, where the dancers are having a conversation, each speaking in their respective language. And perhaps you could talk a bit about this relationship between text and dance, and language and body language in a way, and how it shaped the process of the piece, the choreographic process as well.
Thank you for having me, first of all.
Yes. Too many questions at once.
No, I'm going to think about, because I think it's kind of like, it's also not really possible to leave out language in these days from the kind of work we're doing, because it's already before we get to the studio, we have to deal with so many texts in order to be able to work with all the, you know, like applying for fundings and also like somehow justify the work we are doing. We have to reflect on it. But in Delicate, it was, yeah, like intertwined all the time. I don't really say it's like first this and or others. It was like somehow organically in the instructions always. For example, we started to work on like one part was on female figures or family members that would affect the dancers in their shaping or like in their socializing, who they would think they are important characters, and when I asked them to like try to embody those figures, not necessarily imitating them, but like finding, embodying, and like exploring how to bring them here in with their own bodies, I also encouraged them to use language, those sentences that they would actually like use, or that would like really, really be particularly their way of saying things. That was one thing, for example. Or I think it was actually like very much on the like on the days after the war broke out that I asked them to tell war stories they know about, like where their mostly grandparents were at that time in the Second World War. And then we were like one by one, like there was a small structure, and like one by one they were telling stories they knew about, or they were actually calling their family members to like specify. And yeah, somehow some of them, like I think they're really somehow still in their bodies when they are in the material, especially in the first part of the work. But it's like very abstract now, so it's like I know some things where they came from, and then they were transferred into body language, or the body language was already there, just the words were left out. And from war stories, I think we didn't like really create a particular material, but just that atmosphere of that day or is really in there when I think when we created interactions or the light or the atmosphere of the piece.
I actually wanted to ask about those specific movements, because as you said, like most of the material is like fairly abstract, which I really like. But then there are these like, it's like punctuated with these almost illustrations of like things that you can recognize, like oftentimes like of labor in a way, like different types of manual labor. Like there's like the shoveling at one point. At another point, I think Adele like almost like seems to be giving birth or something, which is also like called labor in English, which I find an interesting connection. Like how did these how did you decide that like some, I feel like there was like a tension or like an ebb and flow of like movements that you could like recognize immediately and have like a very specific connotation to them, and then others that felt more like where like the only context was the piece itself in a way, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
did
you talk about these, like did you try to like leave them in or to get them out, or did it just happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. But I think now what you're pointing out is mostly the second part of the piece. There is a kind of like first
break,
section,
and
the break and the second. And the first part is mostly their characters from their origin stories, mostly female characters or other family members, but mostly female characters that they would somehow like bring through their bodies, but it's also like a lot of emotional states. And what you are pointing at, I think it's the second part, which is which we call actually working women.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like that was a different thought process, a section for me. It's like a little bit like stepping out from the personal, and it's having like a more wider context in thinking about women, like the last 100 years of women having work outside the household also, and how much, I mean, how very recent that is actually, like it's like 3 generations or maximum 4, and that whole change of social roles of women in society. And I actually asked them to like think about all kinds of works women do in or out the household. And I think there is a, like it's always like a tuning how they work with it. There is a like clear quality that they grasp, but then they somehow transfer it and then they do it like, or they come from a more abstract and then it develops to the very concrete. And I liked that in a way that, the shift somehow I think helps the audience to like somehow first don't understand and then like, oh yeah, I get it. And then again, like I somehow liked this thought or also this... like the possibility to give some concrete movement and thought pattern or possibility for the audience to reflect on.
Yeah, I feel like pattern is like a very important word there, because like in a way like these like routine, I mean those are like routines basically they're doing. I feel like there's like dance and like contemporary dance and like these like work routines like have like a very like are related in a way, like they both like work like as patterns in a way, so you connect them like emotionally or like instinctively, like they don't take you out like these like labor almost like illustrations in a way, because they work in the same way the other movements have worked before. I feel like there's both like this like larger context, but the movements also feel like specifically important to each of the dancers to work through something on stage in the moment, you know. Perhaps this is like a naive question or something, but I'm really interested in the relationship between like improvisation and choreography in the work, and because the movement material like on display, like it seems so personal to each of the dancers. And it does seem, like I said, like it does seem to like tell an individual story, like them working through something. But at the same time, I was wondering about your role as a choreographer of this performance that seems to draw so heavily on each dancer's individual style and story also, perhaps. But like, how do you guide them towards like your vision of the piece, perhaps, if you want to call it that, without limiting them in their movement? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you like orchestrate it without you actually like becoming a conductor of sorts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these characters and movement qualities happened in a much more free spatial context, you know, like they were improvising and working next to each other, and actually then I made a spatial structure. But sometimes this spatial organizing is partly what's happening like this also in the improvisation, and then I have to like actually like set it. Or sometimes I had to emphasize on the interrelationality of these characters, also like thinking about how interrelational is everything what we are living in, and how actually like the personal is related and embedded in the social context, and the social is like, you know, like all these people living next to each other in different countries are affected by each other's countries, politics, and somehow this, it was, I'm not, yeah, it was important for me to create a kind of net, or even I like to think about the fascia in the body, and then like how can it be an organization tool in choreography to think about that quality, that is actually elastic, like very thin, but at the same time it connects everything, and it like one movement affects the other. But it was, I'm not sure that I didn't limit though their you know, like they have a freedom in the qualities, but they don't have too much freedom in the timing, for example. Mm-hmm. I think like there are, yeah, I mean, the performance at the end has to be 50 minutes, yeah, if it's written, yeah, that it's 50 minutes. So it's like there is a kind of structure that they try to fulfill, and I think that is a limitation always when we...
Yeah, I was wondering about, maybe that's like too technical, but like are there like almost like meeting points, like both like temporarily and like spatially, where they have to, because there is this like break in the middle where they all like find the same rhythm and like almost like really like slow down and stop before like going in again. Like, is that like the main point where they have to, is that like really like set when it happens, yes, and how it happens?
Yes, yeah, it is. And it is related to the music somehow, I think, like as a tool for them, or like as a cue for them. But also before that, I mean, it is that spatially, it is set in a way how they take over the more activity from each other. Like if you like watch it the second time, maybe you'll then like see how actually it's very clearly always one active character, and the two others, they are on stage, but like a little bit on the background, like not spatially, but in the activity of the physicality. So there is a kind of, also like with the gaze sometimes, like they can use the gaze in like watching each other, like watching the more active physical character, and the background qualities are mostly also like tools. They're mostly like more abstract bodily qualities that they use. But it's, I think it's all set actually. It's like it's not set in a way that is like this is like how like a movement material would be like totally choreographed in a way, like from movement to movement, but as a improvisation based movement quality score, I think it is pretty set.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that's really like to the quality of the performance, then that it feels so immediate and so much like they find it in the moment, you know, like it, of course it's a choreography, but it feels like every move, every motion leads to the next, and it came out of the previous motion, like it's so it's so immediate in that way. I mean, it also like it feels so like tailored, not even like tailored to the three of them, but like coming out of it, the three of them. So I was wondering, was there ever a moment where you thought you might perform yourself as well, or how did you make that decision to just do the choreography?
Yeah, partly I add something. I think it also seems to be that you didn't use this word, but I don't remember what you used, like that alive or like that created on like improvised, because they are so interrelated. They have to have this like attention to take over, and they are like there's not an outside cue they're following except for that one when they like organize themselves for the break part, but like inside the movement material, they actually always relate to each other. But yes, I was planning to perform in it, but not originally. Actually, at first I wanted to be outside. Then I had very practical reasons that I thought like, okay, I cannot not perform, like mostly due to budget reasons. But then when we started to rehearse first just with Karin and Sasha, I just realized I can't really like lead this kind of work because we are so much exploring. I'm also exploring what the material could be. I'm also like trying to figure out what are the ways to instruct something that I still cannot really grasp. So I also have to see, watch and feel what is happening from these initiations, and that it's kind of impossible for me to be inside, or that then I will like be back and forth all the time, and it doesn't really help me to actually deepen my attention. So for the next rehearsal period, I already asked Adele, and by then I could actually also like make it happen practically. And I think it was the best decision ever. Yeah, it really helped me to like be more relaxed in actually like being led by material and being in places of not knowing for a lot, like for a long, 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 long time, exploring materials that were really interesting and feeding the process, but being like already by then clear that it's not what's going to happen on stage, and then like not knowing what's going to happen, but like still going for texts or scenes that are clearly not something I could actually like show in the piece. And that was actually interesting. Like literally I feel like that the whole web, the whole network, the whole of movements and like the material and the aesthetic, what it is, I think it happened in the last 2 weeks that I found it.
We haven't talked about the music at all yet, and I feel like the music by Rosie Marco is first of all really like wonderful and really like captivating, I think. But it also seems sometimes to like unfold in a like similarly organic fashion, perhaps as the movements, and with like each motion and each sound like feeling like it comes out of the previous. And Rosie is on stage as well, so there is this like performative, almost like live aspect to it. Like she feels like a fourth performer in a way, and she's also like very visible from every angle. And for me, that's probably just like as a spectator as well. But for me, it sometimes like it seemed as though the dancers like aren't only like moving to the music, but that the music also like reacts to the dancers in a way, or like forms and like shapes around the movement. And like how did that process look like? Like when did like Rosie enter the equation in a way, and how did that work look like, and how open is it perhaps like what she does?
I think she was there from the very beginning. I don't think she was there every day, but already in the first two mm-hmm. weeks we were working with her several times. I think it's really, really good, and was really like a good base for our working together, that we 2 years ago we were teaching a workshop here together, and she was doing the music live, so I already like understood how sensitive she can be, and like how clearly senses, like how clearly she senses the space and the energies and the qualities in the space. So I knew, and that was really helpful for me, that I don't have to verbalize a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can, like she can move with her sound similarly as the dancers move with their bodies. And then I can actually like reflect on it and like fine tune things that needs to be specified. But I really felt her like being a similar, like an equal body,
yeah,
with the
totally.
Voice, with the sound, and it was always really, really helpful, and like much more valid when she was in the space than the times when I was just like putting some background music, even when I used her music.
Yeah,
like live
yeah.
music is like always special, and it's important, like her like how she adds to the space and to the, like as you say, to the body qualities, or to, because like rhythm is kind of inescapable, like people, like if I don't tell that don't move to the rhythm, people will move to the rhythm. So it definitely, I mean, she's a choreographer. I think
the audience, there's like a frontal audience, and there's also like part of the audience sitting on each side. And so there's almost like these like three walls that are being played in a way by three dancers as well. And they move very like freely, but there's still like a, I wondered whether, first of all, that was like always the case, like in other venues as well, that there's like this almost like half circle around the dancers, and if it was always like, yeah, conceptualized as that, you know, in the room, never like as a totally like frontal piece.
It was a kind of a development up and like this to this moment, because we had a residency like before the premiere. The premiere happened like last year in May in Budapest, and before that we had a residency in. Like hosted by Stuck Löwen, but the space we used was a theater space of Les Brigittines, so it had actually like a tribune and it was super frontal, and that was like, it wasn't my concept yet, but it was like, this is how where we were working. And then when we showed the part of the material, which actually was like absolutely super different to what the piece is today, but the working women section was pretty much there already. So there it happened frontally, and then when we when we had the premiere, I really wanted to have it a U form, but it was different to this setting here because we had three sides of built tribunes. So like all three sides were the similar size, and it was like just two rows from all sides, and people were all really close. So it was a much like closer, intimate setting, which in a way I really like because I find it important to for people to see the qualities and like feel the bodies from a closer distance. But then, yeah, we had to adapt to this space and also to the festival, which obviously has a huge audience. So I think we merged the two variations. So it's still possible. It also, like, it didn't make sense to build like a third tribune because there's already a tribune standing and it's not so, deep, like to that direction, the stage. So it was, this was the only option to like still have the built tribunes on the sides, and people could have this close experience, like experiencing the bodies from closer, but then you can also look at from afar and there's a total angle. And I mean, it's a different experience, but I, like, as I watched it from both sides, I kind of thought it's both valid.
Yeah, totally. Like, you as you said, like, the piece, like, in many ways, like, grapples with, like, being a woman in different cultural contexts, as well in one of these contexts being the city of Vienna, where Karin Power is from. And you recently moved from Budapest to Vienna as well, right?
Yes.
So, I wonder, like, what did it mean to then, like, show a piece not only, like, in the city in which you now live, but also, like, in a city that in a way was, like, inscribed into the piece from the start through Karin? Because I feel like the cultural context, like, enter the piece from, like, two sides. First, like, through the dancers and in the development, and then by showing it in different contexts as well, and then having different reactions to it, perhaps.
I have to admit, I didn't really hear, like, feedbacks on this aspect, you know, like, on femininity. People didn't really, like, talk about that part. And I feel like I'm very new here to actually judge how, in a way, this city is dealing with these roles differently. But I have a sensation, obviously, like, I think this is, I mean, this is Western Europe compared to, the Hungarian context or to even the Russian or Ukrainian context in a way. Like, but I'm not clear about, you know, like, all the differences in, like, different households or different parts of the country, or, like, how traditional roles are still present or emphasized here, which are, like, politically really, really clearly very strongly emphasized in Hungary these days.
Like, the showings at Impulstanz took place in the frame of this residency time you had as well. Did you, like, how did you use that time? Were you able to like, come together as a group again and really, like, rehearse? Or did you also, like, experience the festival outside of this, like, very intimate, perhaps, space?
We started the residency, like, I think kind of right with like, from the beginning with rehearsals, because of just the timing, how it, like, it, the performances happened on the first week. So also, like, the setup was, like, middle of the week, and we had two rehearsals before our setup day, so we actually started with rehearsing and focusing on the piece, and we used the studio for that mainly. Like, the first day I went and, like, I was, like, trying to find my own grounding in to, like, prepare for the week. And then we were rehearsing for the piece. It was, like, it's kind of a long time we haven't played it, so it was kind of tight, but also, like, very focused to, like, bring it back. And then this week, I actually, because we don't really have like a plan to have a project together as a group like this, I really encouraged the dancers to use the space for whatever they want to, and maybe we meet in the space, maybe not, but we just like schedule it how we want to. So actually Adele is performing her own solo in a couple of days in a festival in Hungary, so she was using it for that. Mostly people are super smashed, so I think they are, they have enough activity with workshops and watching performances, and I'm also like, just like, it's really nice to have a studio this week for myself, but I also feel like it's kind of an overachievement if I would like, I mean, I really would like to use it more, but I'm like tired doing workshop, watching shows, so I actually have a limited capacity to use it, but the fact that we can like, yeah, watch shows together or separately, and like all this time together where we are like still with the same people, but also like meeting other people and having other friends, and like all this social aspect is really great.
Yeah.
Also the lunch included. And also Rosie was playing the other night.
Oh, really?
In the lunch, and it was so great. We were dancing crazy.
I wanted to ask about the beginning, actually, of the piece, and how you decided to leave in like that, like actual conversation between the three of them, and not just like through their bodies, but with language, and also like the decision to have them in being in the space and talking, and us being able to listen, but perhaps because we're not that close, not being able to understand everything, and also because, like, I could understand what Karin was saying because she was talking in German, but I couldn't understand what Sasha and Adele were saying, and perhaps they couldn't understand everything each of the others were saying. So I was wondering how, why you decided to, like, it's a very, like, easing into the piece in a way. Like, it takes a long time before you start, before they even start moving, but it sets the scene at the same time. Like, where, is it... And how do you prompt them, perhaps, to like, what is it, the same thing they are talking about every night, or is it like, does it evolve?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I wanted to somehow introduce their context, and I just thought it's a nice way to like to them that if they speak their own languages, and they have this like small kind of Babel scene in the beginning, but also having it like very casual, like not starting a show with like something immediately introducing theater, but like it's still theater, but it's they're like everyday people, they're talking in a very not theatrical manner, but like as in everyday life of they have a list of topics that sometimes, yeah, they, I mean, they vary, but, and they don't say the exact same sentences, but they just, like, improvise with them. It's, mostly what happens is that Adele understands the most, you know, like, she understands everything, and nobody understands Hungarian, so...
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, that's a very interesting dynamic. She also, like, tends to get into this, like, translation mode, but, yeah, Sasha understands German, but not Hungarian, and Karin doesn't understand anything. This is funny also,
but it's
like,
funny watching her.
Yeah, but also just, like... Yeah, I think it also is connected to the cultural context. Like, how much do you have to actually get into understanding other languages or cultures, depending on where your land is?
Yeah.
And yes, I think you just said it very beautifully and right. I like the thought behind it was to ease in, like people come from very different places, they arrive to the theater, and it's just a moment to see these performers, to see them as normal is not a good word, but like everyday, you know, people, they don't just dance, they also can talk, and then they like slowly transition to their body language.
Thank you very much for talking to me about Delicate. And
thank you so much. Thank you. It was really nice to talk to you.
You have been listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographer series. For more artist conversations, visit the websites lifelongburning.eu and impulsetanz.com.